you have a copy of God's Word, go to the book of Genesis, chapter 45. And just as we did this morning, mark it. We'll stay there, but we'll start in Hebrews 11. We'll read one verse and go back to our main text in the book of Genesis. So we'll start in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read verse 22, and then we'll look back at Genesis where our main text will be. We're going to look at Joseph tonight. Brother BJ's been going through a series on Wednesdays about faithful people in the Bible, and it's just been an encouraging thing. I think the Lord's lined it up right just where it needs to be tonight with Joseph as an example of faithfulness. And as we look at the life of Joseph, and we're going to do a little bit of turning back and forth, but most of it will be in the book of Genesis. But we're going to look at Joseph as an example of a man who was faithful regardless of what happened in his life. And I am so grateful for this example. The Bible says that all Scripture is given, and it's an example. It's for us to benefit, to take what's in there and apply it to our life. And that's what I want to do tonight. So let's look at the story of Joseph. We'll look at Hebrews. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. As we reverence the reading of God's Word, we'll look at Hebrews 11 first. Read that verse, verse 22, and then we'll go back to Genesis and look at that. So Hebrews 11, 22, Bible says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." We'll go back to Genesis chapter 45. Look at verse number 4. Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 45, Genesis, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance." Verse 8, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." If you would pray with me. Father, thank you for this night. What a glorious opportunity it is to look at your word, look at the life of Joseph, and Lord, help us to apply this to our lives tonight. Father, I pray you get all the honor and the glory. And I pray we'd see you high and lifted up through this text. Father, bless these people. I'm thankful that they're here, and I pray you'd bless them for that. The Bible tells us, Father, we are called to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I thank you for that. Help us to be faithful throughout this time. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Joseph's an example in the Bible of a man who, through the course of his life, stood the test of time. Good times came, he was faithful. Bad times came, he was faithful. And that's a great example for me and you. We all go through good times, and boy, it's easy to be faithful. We all go through hard times, and that's where the rubber meets the road, how to be faithful. And I want to ask a question as we look at the text tonight. How was Joseph faithful in his walk with God? How was he faithful? Or maybe another way of putting it is, as I wrote down, what was Joseph's faithfulness like? We'll look at our text and we'll start. We're going to flip around because Joseph's story covers about 15 chapters in the book of Genesis. So I'll give you three different things tonight of what God laid on my heart to share with you. How was Joseph faithful? I believe here that we see that Joseph was faithful in waiting on God. Everybody knows the story of Joseph. He had to wait a long time in his life. If you got a copy of God's Word, go to Genesis chapter 37. We'll start there. We'll read one verse. This is kind of going to be very, very formal Bible study tonight. We'll look at chapter 37, verse number 2. Joseph had to wait a long time for God to move. And we'll look at chapter 37, verse 2, kind of toward the beginning of the story. Joseph's young here, and it tells us in verse number 2 how old he was when all this began. Genesis 37, 2, there are the generations of Jacob. Here it is, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Now put that in your mind. He was 17 when it started. 17 when his brothers betrayed him. 17 when he was sold into slavery. Take your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 41, I believe. Genesis chapter 41, just a few chapters over. In between that, we see what happens. He gets lifted up. He gets put back into prison. He gets lifted up again. And Genesis chapter 41, toward the end of the chapter, he's in front of Pharaoh, and we're going to see his age now. He started at 17, sold into slavery, and we're going to look how old he is now. Genesis 41, 46, the Bible says, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Now let's think about this for a minute. Joseph had to wait on God a long time. 17 to 30, he waited 13 years for God to answer his prayer. 13 years for God to move in his life. There were times of ups. There were times of downs. There were good times. There were bad times through the whole thing. And he stayed faithful in the time of waiting. And I want to try to apply that to my life tonight. I want you to apply it to your life. There are times we have to wait. I know you know this because you're probably the same opinion I have. I do not like to wait. But I'm thankful the Bible says I can wait on God. The Bible tells me I can wait on the Lord. The Bible tells me, and I want to give you a few scriptures in the book of Psalms chapter 37. You probably don't have to turn there. It'll be on the screen. Psalms 37 in verse number 7, the Bible says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Verse 8, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off." Here it is. "But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." We'll skip a few verses. Look at verse 37. The Bible says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." The Bible tells us that waiting on God is hard, but it will come when you wait. It's hard to wait in the middle of it. I can just picture Joseph in my own mind for 13 years. Started when he's sold into slavery, the lowest of lows. He said, "I'm going to be faithful to God." Things started looking upward, went to Potiphar's house. Boy, things are looking up. I'm going to praise God in the good times. All of a sudden, boom, right back down to the prison. Even though things ain't going good, I'm going to stay faithful to what God's called me to do. I'm going to wait. He's given me this vision. He's given me this dream, and I'm going to wait on Him. All of a sudden, things turn right back around, and we look at the end of the chapter in Genesis, and guess what happens? God did what He said He'd do. He had to wait a long time, but I'm thankful that it happened the way it was supposed to. And as I was reading this, waiting on the Lord, I feel like that's something that every person in this room can really grab a hold of. I feel like we all can relate to that. I think about this building we've got out here. Boy, I think a long time, for many months, I thought, boy, this ain't never going to happen. Things just ain't turning the way it should. Man, where are we going to get this money? Where are we going to get the people? Is it ever going to get God? And all of a sudden, guess what happened? Boom, 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 boom. Here we are. Just a couple weeks from when it started, and we got a slab, we got plumbing, we got all these things. We'll go out there, and in about 4 days, they put a lot up. All of a sudden, guess what happens? We waited, and we waited, and we did what God called us to do, and we see the fruit of waiting. We're called to wait on the Lord. I ask myself, how do I wait on God? How is the best way to wait on God? I want to share what the Bible says. We need to wait with expectation. My job is not to be God. And friend, your job is not to be God. You know what our job is? Wait and God will move. Wait with expectancy. When I'm waiting for the Lord to move in my own life, boy, if I get doom and gloom, I need to get out of that in a hurry. I need God to move on my life, and I'm going to look to Him. And I feel like as we wait, sometimes we look everywhere else but up. I read that scripture in the book of Psalms, how it says, don't look at the evildoers. Man, it looks like they're doing well. Let me tell you something. God will take care of you. God will be faithful if we'll be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, moreover, is required for stewards that a man be found faithful. The Bible tells us here we need to be faithful when it's time to wait. Let me give you something else. Wait with effort. Wait with expectation. I know God will move. I know it happened today, but He will move. Wait with expectation, but wait with effort. We'll go to point number two this afternoon. I want to share it with you. Number one, we're called to wait. Be faithful in our waiting, just as Joseph was. Well, look in chapter 39. If you got a copy of God's Word, skip back to chapter 39. Number one, we need to be faithful when we wait. Here's a good one. Number two, we need to be faithful in our work. Now look at the life of Joseph as you're turning. Joseph was faithful when he was waiting on God. But let me tell you something. Everything he had to work on as far as being in the prison, being in Potiphar's house, being with Pharaoh, every kind of work activity he did looking toward God. Let me read this scripture to you. Genesis chapter 39, we'll look at verse number 1. Here's what it says. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. When he had brought him down here, thither, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house, blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Look at the same chapter. Skip toward the end. Look at verse number 22 and 23 when he's in the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. I see that regardless of where Joseph was at in his life, he was faithful in his work. Boy, things were going good. He finally got out of slavery. He was still a slave, but he was in Potiphar's house, a little bit better. Still a slave, but guess what he done? Every single job he did it wholeheartedly unto the Lord. He did everything for God. He did everything not because Potiphar was looking, not because the people were looking at him, not because he wanted glory. He was doing it because he knew that God would reward him. We see there, goes back, sold into slavery, then he gets put into prison after false accusation in the prison. Same thing. Same story. Different scenario, different people, same Joseph. He was faithful in his work. I want to apply that to our life tonight. Everybody in this room has to work in some sort of capacity. Friend, we need to work for the Lord. We don't need to work because somebody's looking. We don't need to work because we get the paycheck. We don't need to work because we are expected to. We need to work because God's watching. Let me give you a scripture. Colossians chapter 3. I want to read this to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, here's what the Bible says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord your Christ. Joseph was faithful in his workplace. Joseph was faithful in everything he did. I think that needs to be an application for a Christian. I believe that. I believe that whatever we do, it's not for men, it's not for us, it's not for them, it's for God. Let me tell you something. If you'll work for God, you'll please everybody else. If you'll take care of, if you'll put in the effort, if I put in the effort that I'm supposed to please God and I'm doing this for God, I promise you everybody else will be happy. They'll be faithful. We see Joseph here. He didn't do it because he wanted to go up the ladder. He did it because God was in his life. And the Bible tells us over and over in the story of Joseph that when he was working for God, he waited, yes, but when he started working in his life, all of a sudden God was with him. All of a sudden God started moving the things where it needed to be. It wasn't in Joseph's timing, and it usually is not in our timing. But when we wait and when we work, God will see it to pass. It will happen. We see that Joseph is called to wait. See that Joseph is called to work. I want to give you something, and I really want to just ride home with this point here. Don't shortchange in what you do. Don't shortchange your boss. Don't shortchange the system. Don't shortchange the people that you work for, you do things for. You go out, don't shortchange your family. Don't be that kind of person. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Nobody will see Jesus. Boy, if they see me do a lousy job, they don't want Jesus in my life. I'll tell you that. They ain't going to listen to me. Be faithful in the small things. I can remember a couple weeks ago, me and my boss Greg, I was under a house. He said, go under there and see if anything else is rotten. See if the floor joists is rotten. We already replaced two or three. I got under there, folks, and I have never seen so many rotten floor joists. And you know who's going to fix it? I got under there. Let me tell you how you know a floor joist is bad, by the way. Take your little hammer and beat it. If it falls, you need to replace it. So anyway, I went under there, took that hammer, crawling under this house, hit that first one, wood everywhere, rotten. Next one, and all of a sudden, Satan's in my head saying, don't tell him. You got to fix it. It'll be four more days. You got to crawl under this house. Don't do that. Tell him it's fine. Son, I walked up there, got underneath. I said, every one of them's rotten. I said, we got to fix this. Let me tell you something. I was not happy to fix them. I'll be honest with you. I was hoping we'd get those few done, we'd move on, get take care of, I'd be able to stand and walk and work. It's not what happened. And let me tell you something, God will reward that. He rewards the small stuff. If we be faithful in small stuff, he'll take care of the big stuff. And friend, I'm not telling you to do things so that others may see. I didn't do that for Greg. I did it for God. Because I wanted God to be pleased with everything I do. I love that Bible verse, and I try to apply that to my life, that verse in Colossians. God is going to be the one that rewards. I didn't get a pay raise because I told him that what was right. I will in heaven, though. I'll get taken care of there. The things that nobody else sees, God will take care of, and that's the way I try to live my life. I think Joseph was a great example of that. He was faithful in the way he waited. He was faithful in the way he worked. Let me go on and move to point number three. Joseph was faithful in his worship. He was faithful in his worship. He took care of the waiting. He didn't complain. He took care of the work. He did everything for God and not for man. And he worshiped God every chance he got. Let me read a few scripture to you. Go to chapter 41, verse number 15 and 16. He's standing before Pharaoh. Standing before the king of the world at this time. Verse number 15. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou can understand a dream to interpret. We'll look at verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Standing before the most powerful man in the world, he said, it's not me, folks. It's God. It's not me that can do it. It's Jehovah. Let me read you another scripture. We're in Genesis chapter 41. Let's move over to Genesis chapter 45. Joseph was faithful in worshiping God every chance he got. He pointed to the Lord. Genesis chapter 45, this is where we started. We'll read it again. We'll read verse number 5. Here's what it says. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Skip to verse 7. And God sent me here before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth, save your lives by great deliverance. Verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Let's go to chapter 50. We'll finish it up. Chapter 50, last chapter in the book of Genesis. End of the story of Joseph. I love this verse. Chapter 50, verse 20. He's pointing to God every chance he got. He waited, he worked, and now he's worshiping toward the end. Chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me. Here it is. But God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Every opportunity Joseph had to say, it's me. Every opportunity he said, I'm the one that crawled my way up the ladder. I'm the one that did it. You know what he said? It wasn't me. He pointed up. He pointed to God. Friend, that's a great example for me. It ain't me. It's Almighty God. He's the one that goes before me. He's the one that takes care of things. Joseph said through these verses, God has the power. If you go back and we look at that first scripture we read in chapter 41, he's standing before Pharaoh and he says, I don't have it, but God has the power to give you that. God has the power. That's the way I ought to say it. God has the power. We move on. God has preserved me to save people. We go to the end, chapter 50. God has his providence over my life. All these things were working against me for so many years. But as Joseph looks back toward the end of the story here, he says, I thought it was bad, but it was good. I thought God was forsaking me. I thought God was done. He said, no, God was right in the middle of it. I want to apply that to my life, church, and I pray you do too. Some things don't feel comfortable in the time it happens. Sometimes we just don't get what we think we ought to get. But sometimes in the middle of it, boy, we just don't see the big picture. I love this illustration. I shared it with our youth a couple weeks ago of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Everybody know about that? Every Thanksgiving, get up, you cut TV on, NBC, ABC, all those things. They got little balloons floating in the sky. Look at it for hours, hours, hours. One by one, they go by. If you're standing there in New York City on the side of the road there, you're seeing them. You're seeing one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. That's how we see things. You know how God sees things? He's in that 20-story building above it. He sees the beginning. He sees the middle. He sees where we're at, and he sees the end. He sees it all. Looking down, that's God. He says, right there in the middle, all you can see is what you're going through. And friend, I'm the worst. I say, well, what's God doing here? What's happening? Where is God? And God's the one that's saying, I'm up here and I'm taking care of business. Joseph said at the end of the story, you thought evil against me, but God had a plan. He had a plan. God has a plan in our life. I'm thankful that God's plan. You say, Brother Jody, what is God's plan? I'll tell you what it was in the story of Joseph. It was to save people. All this happened. It was for restoration. It was forgiveness. It was for Joseph's good. It was for his brother's good. But if you look at the grand scheme of things, the reason why Joseph got where he was at was not because of him. It was because God intended him to save many people. You look at the story, everybody in the world had to come to Egypt to survive. All these people, it got the Israelites to Egypt, it got the people that needed it to survive, because God loves saving people. That's the whole point there. God loves saving people. And I believe Joseph points to Jesus. What's God's plan for Jesus? To save people. Joseph said, you thought evil, but God meant it for good. And I know all those people who crucified Jesus, they meant evil, but God meant for good. To bring it to pass, to save many people. Let me end with something for us, church. God has a plan for our life. God has a plan. He has a purpose of what we're going through right now. And sometimes I'm just like you. I don't know what to do in the middle of it. But I'm not going to look up outward. I'm not going to look inward. Guess where I'm going to look? I'm going to look upward. Lord God, I know I'm going through a mess. But God, I believe you'll take care of it. I trust you, Father. That's what Joseph did. And guess what happened? God saved people because of it. My plan on earth, the reason I'm here is not for me. It's because people need to be saved. Guess that's why you're here. You say, Brother J.D., I'm not a preacher. It don't matter. You can save people through the Holy Spirit. Go out there, you be a witness. Go out there and work for God. Go out there and wait for God. Be an example. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man, a woman, be found faithful. And I promise you, church, if we'll be faithful to God, I guarantee he'll be faithful to us. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this night. Thank you for Jesus.